Frequently Asked Objections. Fun facts for those reasonably skeptical of spending 1% more on helping sick people than killing them. I have now presented this plan to humans 147 times. The objections follow a pattern so predictable, I wrote a script to generate this chapter. I didn't, but I could have. You are very consistent in what you find alarming about not dying. Every civilization I've observed goes through the same 5 stages when presented with a plan to stop killing itself. That's impossible. It isn't. That's dangerous. Less dangerous than the current thing. That's naive. You named your war building after how many sides it has. Okay, but what about this chapter? We were always going to do that. You weren't, but I'll take it. You are currently at stage 4. Congratulations. Here are your objections, in the order you always raise them. We need the military budget. Objection. We can't reduce military spending. That would make us vulnerable. The treaty takes 1%. You keep 99%. Every nation reduces by the same amount, so relative military balance stays exactly the same. You each have 1% fewer missiles pointed at each other. On Washonia, we call this safer. On Earth, you call it an unacceptable risk to national security. Same math, different feelings. The Pentagon cannot account for $2.5 trillion in spending. You're not redirecting the missile budget, you're redirecting the we lost it somewhere budget. The missiles won't even notice. COVID-19 killed more Americans than World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan combined. Your nearly $900 billion murder budget watched it happen, fully armed and completely confused. The virus did not check your passport. It did not consult your defense posture. It did not read your threat assessment. Disease is the only enemy that attacks every nation simultaneously, charges no import tariffs, and has never once considered your feelings about geopolitics. You are the only species that needs to be talked into fighting it. Your war on terror cost $8 trillion, killed 900,000 people, and terrorist attacks went from about 1,000 per year to nearly 17,000 by 2014. Robert Pape at the University of Chicago analyzed every suicide terrorist attack from 1980 to 2003 and found that 95% were responses to foreign military occupation, not ideology. Half were secular, nearly all targeted democracies with military bases in the attacker's homeland. You spent $8 trillion manufacturing the exact threat you were spending $8 trillion to eliminate. On Washonia, this is taught in schools as a cautionary tale. The course is called Circular Spending. After World War II, the U.S. cut military spending by 87.6% in 2 years, $1.42 trillion to $176 billion in today's dollars. GM went from B-24 bombers back to Cadillacs. Frigidaire stopped making machine guns and went back to refrigerators. The economy produced the greatest boom in your history. You're currently spending 30.6 times the pre-World War II baseline in inflation-adjusted dollars. Your grandparents handled an 88% cut and built the middle class. You're being asked for 1% and acting like someone suggested disbanding the army during an invasion. Either the human genome degraded significantly in 3 generations, or someone is making a lot of money telling you this is impossible. It's the second one. But what about defense industry jobs? 1% is a rounding error. Engineers building guidance systems can build medical imaging devices. Same differential equations, fewer funerals. Big pharma will block this. Objection. Pharmaceutical companies will kill this. They profit from disease. Pharma currently pays $2.6 billion per drug. 90% fail. This is called drug development. On Wishonia, we have a different word for spending billions with a 10% success rate. We call it gambling. Who pays for trials? In the current system, it is pharma, spend billions, pray, and in the new system, it is the treaty fund, pays pharma to pray. Trial outcome? Currently, a 90% expensive failure, but in the new system, a 90% failure, but with someone else's money. Business model? Currently, a casino, but with lab coats, and in the new system, a paycheck, but with lab coats. Under this system, trials become a revenue instead of cost. You're offering the casino a guaranteed salary. Casinos love guaranteed salaries. They trample each other getting to the signing ceremony. The only reason pharma profits from disease is because you built a system where curing disease is a financial risk. Remove the risk, and they'll cure things faster than you can name them. They're not evil. They're just doing math. Change the math. What about national sovereignty? Objection. This forces countries to spend money a certain way. That violates sovereignty. Sovereignty means we decide what happens to us. The treaty asks countries to decide. Countries that don't want to may decide not to. Countries that do want to may decide to. Sovereignty remains intact throughout. That is how deciding works. I checked with your dictionaries. They agree with me. The FDA exists for a reason. Objection. We need FDA approval to ensure safety. You're being reckless. The FDA confirms a drug is safe. Then it locks the safe drug in a cabinet for 8.2 years to study whether it works well enough. The drug won't kill you, everyone agrees, but you can't have it because a committee needs 8.2 years to measure how much it helps. Meanwhile, the disease it treats is not waiting. The disease does not have a committee.
It's a lifeguard who confirms the life preserver floats, then locks it in a cabinet to study its buoyancy profile while people drown. The lifeguard then publishes a paper about buoyancy. The paper wins an award. The family of the drowned person receives a copy. I calculated the ratio. For every one person protected from a dangerous drug, 3,070 die waiting for a safe one that's locked in the approval cabinet. I checked it twice because it seemed wrong. It wasn't wrong. The people it kills die quietly in waiting rooms. The system does not count them, which is convenient for the system and less convenient for the dead. What if countries cheat? Objection. Countries will promise to reduce military spending but won't. Of course they will. Trust has a historical compliance rate of approximately whenever it suits them. Your governments print full faith and credit on their money, which is charming given that they ran out of both in 1971. This system was designed by someone who has watched 847 civilizations, me, and it does not use trust. It uses math. Politicians who comply receive incentive alignment bond benefits, campaign funding, and cushy post office careers. They love this. Politicians who don't comply get nothing. They hate this. Every contribution is public on blockchain, so lying is difficult. They really hate this. Benefits route automatically via smart contracts because humans cannot be trusted to distribute papers fairly. This has been tested extensively for all of recorded history, and the results are in. The system assumes the worst about human nature and designs around it. Compliance is the career-maximizing choice. It's Pavlovian conditioning, but for senators. The senators don't love this comparison. The data supports it anyway. You can't cure aging. Objection. Aging is natural and inevitable. You can't fight nature. Smallpox was natural. Polio was natural. Dying in childbirth was natural. You fought all of them and won. Natural is not a synonym for good. Earthquakes are natural. You don't argue against earthquake-proof buildings by saying, but earthquakes are natural and inevitable. You already replace everything that breaks. Hearts, replaced. You're basically a car at this point. Kidneys, replaced or hooked to a machine thrice weekly. Blood, replaced from other humans, which is recycling. Bones, titanium, stronger than the original. Joints, your grandma is 15% metal and doing fine. Aging is damage accumulation with known repair pathways. Telomeres shorten, lengthen them, telomerase activation. Cells senesce, clear them, senolytic drugs. Proteins misfold, refold them, molecular chaperones. Mitochondria fail, replace them, mitochondrial transfer. DNA breaks, repair it, CRISPR, base editing.
You went to the moon with slide rules. You split the atom before you invented the transistor. You can probably fix cells with AI. Unless you think cells are harder than atoms, in which case I have concerns about your physics curriculum. I am just one person. Objection. My vote, investment, or share won't matter. I'm too small. Your contribution, vote, 2 minutes, share, 15 minutes, total, 17 minutes. Potential return, 50,000 extra hours of life if diseases get cured. That's a 176,000 times return on 17 minutes. Your best stock pick has never done this. Your best stock pick has never done 1,000th of this. This needs 280 million people. You tell 10, they each tell 10. 6 degrees of sharing reaches millions. You spent longer than 17 minutes choosing what to watch on Netflix last night. You chose a show about murder. You could have chosen not to be murdered by disease, but the interface was less intuitive. Why not just reform the system? Objection. Why not just reform the FDA and NIH or increase health funding without cutting military spending? People have been trying for 50 years. Here's the scorecard. More funding? Tried. They hired more administrators. Different leadership? Tried. Same results, fancier titles. New regulations? Tried. Now takes 20 years instead of 17. Progress. Bills? Tried. Lobbyists killed them in committee. Efficiently. The system is not broken. I need you to understand this. Defense contractors spend $127 million yearly on lobbying and get nearly $1 trillion in contracts. That is the most efficient return on investment in American capitalism. The system works perfectly. It works perfectly for the people who built it. They will not surrender it because you asked nicely, or because you asked loudly, or because you made a sign. They will surrender it when you outbid them. That's the chapter you already read. Follow up. Fine, but why cut military spending? Just allocate more to health. Money isn't the only constraint. You can't print more physicists. You've tried. It takes 25 years and a PhD program. Cutting 1% from military budgets frees actual human brains from building guidance systems to building diagnostic systems. The brains don't care. They just go where the funding is. They are, in this sense, very similar to lobbyists. This is politically impossible. Objection. No government will agree to this. It will never happen. Pure fantasy. Politically impossible is a phrase that means the bribes currently flow in a direction I'm comfortable with. The small pieces of paper with presidents on them go to people who build missiles instead of people who cure diseases. You need the papers to go the other way. This is called lobbying, which is bribery but with a business card and a 501c4. The military-industrial complex spends $127 million yearly on lobbyists. You can't beat them with moral arguments. They're immune. Moral arguments have a $0 budget and no K Street address. Beat them at their own game. Raise $1 billion through Victory Incentive Alignment Bonds. Allocate $650 million for lobbying. That overwhelms the defense industry's $127 million spend. Go to the same K Street firms, outbid them. Lobbyists work for the highest bidder. They always have. This is the one area where your species' mercenary instincts are genuinely helpful. Once 280 million voters demand it, and the money is behind it, refusal becomes career suicide. Politicians are extremely good at not committing career suicide. It's their primary skill. Several have no other skills. Follow-up. But it can't scale globally.
The internet scaled globally. So did TikTok, which teaches strangers choreography. If your species can coordinate dance moves across 150 countries, it can coordinate not dying. Follow-up. You're naive about human nature. I've been observing human nature for 80 years. It has been remarkably consistent. Here is what I've observed. You call things unrealistic, then you do them, then you pretend you always knew they were possible, every time. Things that were unrealistic, human flight, impossible for millennia, then two bicycle mechanics in Ohio, moon landing, JFK did it in 8 years with computers weaker than your toaster, democracy, kings ruled for 5,000 years, then didn't, ending slavery, entire economies depended on it, they found other economies, women voting, half the population was excluded, the other half thought this was fine, the internet, who needs computers talking to each other, things that are actually unrealistic, spending $2.72 trillion on weapons while sitting on 13,000 nuclear warheads. That's enough for 130 extinction events. You only need one. The other 129 are for what, exactly? Expecting different results from the same broken system. Thinking you'll survive the AI revolution without fixing incentives. 55 million people die each year from treatable causes. That's the unrealistic thing. You just got used to it. What if the science is wrong? Objection. What if we fund 100,000 trials and nothing gets cured? Then you know 100,000 things that don't work. This is called data. You've been collecting it for 400 years. It is the only method you have that actually works. Being afraid of negative results is like being afraid of road signs that say wrong way. The sign is helping you. Stop being angry at the sign. The current system? 100 trials over 17 years. Learn nothing. Many retire wealthy with pensions. NIH funding safe research confirming water is wet. It is. Here's the grant. FDA blocking trials because the paperwork had a typo on page 847. This actually happens. The typo was in a footer. Your decentralized framework will run 44.1 times more trials for the same budget. Even if 90% fail, you get over 4 times more cures than today. Failure at scale beats success at a standstill. On Washonia, we considered 90% failure rates normal for the first 200 years. Then the failure rate dropped because we had data. You don't have data because you're afraid of failure. You're afraid of failure because you don't have data. This is a circle. I keep finding circles in your systems. None of them are the good kind. War is human nature. Objection. War is inevitable. Countries need militaries to survive. Several countries tested this hypothesis and got different results. Switzerland. 200 plus years avoiding major wars, surrounded by both world wars, literally in the middle, made chocolate, stayed alive. GDP per capita, $93,000. Not killing people is profitable. Defense spending, 0.7% of GDP. Life expectancy, 84 years, 6.5 years longer than Americans who spend 5 times more on defense. Costa Rica. Abolished its army in 1948, said no thank you to the entire concept. Still sovereign 75 plus years later, nobody invaded the country with no oil. Redirected military budget to education and health. Life expectancy matches US at a fraction of the cost. Zero invasions since. Turns out nobody wants to conquer happy, educated people with good health care and no resentment. Scale that of globally, and the 20-year model projects the treaty path producing 16.5 times the GDP of doing nothing, and the Washonia path producing 56.7 times. Not murdering people is good for the economy. This should not be a surprising finding, but on your planet it is. Nuclear weapons made territorial conquest largely obsolete in 1945. You're still budgeting like it's 1944. It's been 80 years. Somebody should tell the accountants. All wars on X have failed. Objection. War on drugs, war on poverty, war on terror, all failed. This will too. Those were government wars using central planning. This uses markets. The difference is important, and I will explain it using small words because this objection comes up a lot. Government wars create bureaucracies that need the problem to exist. The war on drugs needs drug crime. The war on poverty needs poor people. The war on terror needs enemies. Each one accidentally created a government department whose continued employment depends on the problem never being solved. The departments are thriving. The problems are also thriving. Everyone is thriving except the people the departments were supposed to help. Why this is different? Markets instead of ministries. Markets don't need the problem to keep existing. Pays for outcomes, not process. No one gets rich by failing slowly. No bureaucracy to preserve. Smart contracts don't have pensions, don't take lunch breaks, and have never once asked for a corner office. Thousands of teams competing instead of one committee deciding. The committee is at lunch. Researchers paid for cures, not grant applications, which are different skills. Grant writing is a literary genre, not a scientific method. Call it the market for health. Less dramatic. Might actually work. Would definitely not get its own Ken Burns documentary, which is how you know it's a real solution. This sounds like bribery. Objection. You're just bribing politicians. That's illegal and immoral. You're describing lobbying. I know this because I looked up your laws. The mechanics are identical. Same K Street firms, same campaign contributions, same revolving door, same wine. The only difference is what you're buying. Current lobbying buys murder contracts, $1 trillion in defense spending. New lobbying buys medicine contracts, clinical trials. Same K Street, different product. If you're comfortable with the first one and uncomfortable with the second one, I encourage you to sit quietly and think about why. This system caps corruption at 20% and makes it fully transparent. 10% goes to investors, money for money, no influence attached. 10% goes to political incentives, campaign support, and post office careers for politicians who vote yes. The remaining 80% goes to clinical trials via wishocratic allocation, where every human votes on priorities. That 80% is untouchable by lobbyists, investors, or politicians. Humans find the 20% cap suspicious. No government budget in history has a lower corruption rate. Your skepticism about 20% corruption is itself a review of the system it's trying to protect. Why not just use philanthropy? Objection. If this matters, why not raise money from donors instead of complicated bonds? All philanthropy combined is a rounding error compared to government budgets. A very generous rounding error wearing a gala dress and holding a champagne flute, but still a rounding error. A massive fundraising campaign would cannibalize donations from cancer research already doing critical work. You'd be stealing from cancer research to fund cancer research, which is impressively pointless even by your standards. The goal is tapping the multi-trillion dollar stream of wasted government spending, not reshuffling the tip jar. The tip jar has feelings. The government stream has missiles it can't account for. One of these is easier to redirect. $84 quadrillion is a made-up number. Objection. No number with that many zeros can be real. You're just multiplying big things to get a big answer. All numbers are made up. Yours happen to be small. Mine happen to be large. The difference is that mine come with receipts. Start with what disease costs per year. The WHO says the world loses 2.88 billion disability-adjusted life years, or dailies, per year annually. 92.6% are eventually avoidable with sufficient biomedical research. At $150,000 per quality-adjusted life year, or QALY, the standard rate used by the EPA, OECD, WHO, and NICE, each year of delay costs $400 trillion. Multiply by how many years earlier treatments arrive, approximately 212,
The capacity constant is equal to the number of fundable patients under the DFDA divided by current slots, which equals 12.3. The number of fundable patients under the DFDA is equal to the annual DFDA subsidies divided by the pragmatic cost per patient, which equals $23.4 million. Annual DFDA subsidies are equal to the annual DFDA funding minus operating expenses, which totals $21.8 billion. Operating expenses are calculated by adding platform costs, staff costs, infrastructure costs, and other associated costs. Two WHO data points, one standard quality price, and a timeline shift. That's where the quadrillion comes from, not magic, multiplication. But $400 trillion per year is more than global GDP, $115 trillion. Yes, GDP measures market transactions. It does not measure the value of not being dead, not being in pain, and not watching your children die of treatable diseases. Health economists have measured this for decades. The $150,000 per quali figure is what governments already use when deciding whether to approve drugs, build highways, or regulate pollution. I did not invent the number. I multiplied it by the number of sick people. Both the number and the sick people existed before I got here. The only debatable input is whether the timeline shift is really approximately 212 years. Won't AI drug discovery shrink that timeline anyway? AI discovers candidates. Candidates still need clinical trials. The current system has 1.9 million patients per year trial slots globally, producing 15 diseases per year. AI does not create more trial slots. It creates more candidates competing for the same slots. More candidates plus the same bottleneck equals the same queue, or longer queue. It's like building faster cars and pointing them at the same traffic jam. The 15 diseases per year rate measures throughput bottleneck, not discovery speed. This intervention removes the throughput bottleneck, 12.3 times capacity via pragmatic trials at $929 per patient. AI and this system are complementary, not substitutes. One finds the cures, the other lets you test them before the patient dies of old age. How do you prevent waste? Objection. How do you ensure money helps patients instead of funding bureaucracy? The NIH's Recover Initiative spent $1.6 billion over 4 years and produced zero treatment recommendations. Zero. $1.6 billion, 4 years, nothing. The money is gone, the patients are still sick, the administrators have been promoted. If you designed a system to waste money on purpose, you could not beat this performance. It's a masterpiece of institutional failure. And nobody was fired, which is itself a masterpiece of institutional failure. A decentralized FDA model achieves 82 times lower cost per patient. Pragmatic trials, $500. Traditional trials, $41,000. Same science, 82 times less overhead. With that same $1.6 billion, the decentralized model could have run thousands of trials for millions of patients. Instead, zero. I will stop repeating the number zero now, but I want you to know that I could keep going. There are a lot of zeros in this story.